We're going to continue in our worship as we look into God's Word, and we're going to continue in the series that I began several weeks ago called Buen Camino, which means good way. And today we're going to talk about laying down our burdens. And for that, I turn to Matthew chapter 11, and just a couple of verses at the end of that chapter, verses 28 through 30. Hear God's Word. This is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the very word of God. Would you pray with me? Father, I confess that many times I don't even know I'm carrying a burden. And I also confess that when I realize I'm carrying a burden, I like to manage it myself. My hunch is that there are a few others in this room with the same difficulty. I pray that by your word and spirit, you would teach us this morning, and that you would do more than instruct us, but you would transform us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, this is the fourth in a series called Buen Camino. Buen Camino is the greeting that we would give one another along the way on the way to Santiago through the northern part of Spain. We hiked 500 miles, so there was a lot of people to greet and a lot of times to say, Buen Camino. It means literally good way, but also, as I've mentioned in the past, it can mean on the right path or the right path. And so I got to thinking that it's not only a good greeting to give one another as you walk along the path in Spain, but it's also a pretty good greeting and even a question for all of us. And that is, are you in a good way? Are you on the right path? Is this a journey that you are enjoying and are fully satisfied in as you walk with the Lord at His pace? I'm attempting to share some of the things that I learned along the way as I hiked in Spain with my wife. And this week is no exception. I began several weeks ago with the passage from John chapter 14 where Jesus said, I am the way, the Camino, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is a good and solid place to begin. The next week I talked about what it meant to live life or to walk with God at His pace. Some of us found that quite difficult to do. I estimated it around 3 miles per hour, but I'm not quite sure. Last week, I talked about what it means to be fully present. By that, I mean, what's going on right here, right now? What is God doing in our lives that we often overlook because we're looking forward to the next thing or the next thing after that? And today, we'll talk about what it means to lay our burdens down. Some of you have noticed that I brought my pack with me. This is the pack that went 500 plus miles in Spain. And I want you to know this, it's got most of the same stuff that I had in it, although it's not quite as heavy. I don't have the water that I usually carry, and water is very heavy. But it's got a lot, and it's got a heft to it, I'm telling you. It's not light. And the interesting part of that is, you get this pack on your back, and there's a lot of different adjustments around your waist and around your shoulders and different things that you can do to distribute the load. And you get kind of used to the heavy load after a while. As a matter of fact, if you get into a conversation while you're walking along the way, you might even forget that you have a pack on. That is until you stop and you take the pack off and you feel like air, like you might just float up because you're unburdened. You are now experience such joy from the relief of not having the pack on your back, you're wondering how you did it. How was it that I carried this pack for such a long way and didn't really notice it? Got to thinking that that's true not only for the physical weight that we carry around like a backpack, but it's true for the mental and emotional and spiritual burdens that we carry as well. Oftentimes, we're loaded down with them, but we become used to them. They become more commonplace. We learn how to deal. That is until we're offered a way in which we can be unburdened. And then we think to ourselves, why in the world didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I confess this sooner? Why didn't I unload sooner than this? Nobody understands this better than Jesus, who invites us today to lay down all of our burdens. And not just to lay them down, but to hand them over. And that's something that all of us seem to struggle with a little bit. He begins in verse 28 by saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I think this is one of the most encouraging passages in the entire Bible. Come to me, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest is an interesting word, isn't it? We use it in so many contexts in the English language. When we're out of breath because we've been working out or doing something very physical, we stop and we take a rest. Or if we've been working mentally on a project, maybe at work or wherever it is, we take a rest break. When we're on the freeway and we're traveling a long distance, we stop at a rest stop. When nature calls, we go to the rest room. And when we just can't hold our eyes open anymore, we lay down our heads and we rest. We use it in a lot of different contexts, but the word, we know it in our bones, don't we? Rest is a good thing. Rest is something that we all crave. There is a Japanese phenomenon. In fact, there's a word for it called karoshi. Some of you may be familiar with this. Karoshi in Japanese literally means working yourself to death. And this is a very real problem in Japan. As a matter of fact, in the early 1990s, as many as 30,000 people work themselves to death in Japan every year. Now, the government has put into place some significant safeguards, but there are still hundreds, if not thousands, of people who die every year simply from working too much. Now, to me, that is an amazing statistic. But when you think about it, it's not that surprising, is it? It is very easy to become overstressed by a workload. It is very easy to worry about whether or not we're keeping up, whether or not we're doing enough. And this isn't just at work, this is in life. So we find ourselves oftentimes in this place. I mentioned last week, FOMO is a very real thing. The acronym FOMO means fear of missing out. And I think we all suffer from that to one degree or another. We want to be engaged in the latest thing. We want to be involved. We want to be up to date and have the latest stuff and be involved in the latest things or the latest fashion or just looking for something that might satisfy us more than we are right now. Our finances, our health, our work, our children, our parents, and the pace of our lives all produce in us stress and result in a burden of one sort or another. Combine that with the fact that as Christ followers or Christians, we often pray fervently for God to do something. And it doesn't seem as though He answers our prayers, at least not in the way we had hoped He would. And we still feel burdened. Only now we have more burden because we're worried that God's not listening to us or doesn't hear us or doesn't understand what we're going through. We're stressed out in our bodies, we're stressed out in our minds, and we're stressed out in our souls, and our lives are screaming for rest. But even when it's offered to us, we sometimes pass it by. In fact, I think we oftentimes pass it by. And I don't know quite what the reason will be. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's the reality that I can work this out myself. I don't need anybody's help. I can manage this. I can do this. So the burden remains and nothing changes. We work and we worry and we fret. And we try harder. And then we work, and we worry, and we fret, and we try harder. And many of us are on this merry-go-round, and we don't know how to get off. Interestingly enough, the same was true over 2,000 years ago when Jesus first spoke these words. We have this inclination that life back then was simpler, and in many ways it was, but the human heart is the human heart. There's always been that tendency to be stressed out. We stress out perhaps over the fact that our computers aren't working, but that's really no different than the fact that you would stress out because your ox has fallen sick and you can't do the work in the field. Stress is stress. The sources are different, and the pace is probably different nowadays. But in the end, human nature has always been the same. So at the time of Jesus, the people there worked, and they worried, and they wondered, how is it that they are going to please God without killing themselves, without overburdening themselves to the point where they just can't take it anymore? All of this has been a part of society since the beginning. And so what we're experiencing now is different in that technology and pace and some other things looks a lot different than it did many years ago. But in reality, the way in which Jesus addresses the people during his time is a true and valid word for us today. It is a human problem. So Jesus offers a different way when he says, "Come to me, all of you who are burdened and weary, I'll give you rest. I will provide it for you. You need to come to me." And the way in which he's going to go about this, we see now in verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For some of you, a yoke is a strange word, but you've seen one before. It's oftentimes on oxen or cattle. It's a big wooden bar that goes across the back of their necks, and there's a hoop that attaches it to them, and it then attaches to a plow or whatever, and they move forward, and this yoke bears all the weight that they pull. And this yoke can be used in many different ways too. There are yokes for humans that they can put across their shoulders and carry water. Perhaps you've seen that before, a bucket on either side with this big wooden yoke that's on the back of their necks. The idea is simply that it bears a burden. The yoke becomes heavy on your neck or on your shoulders. Now, this is a strange analogy, but folks would have understood it at that time simply because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law used the term often. They would say the yoke of the Torah or the yoke of the law is something that everyone must carry. It's a burden to bear. Now, what did they mean by that? Well, the laws of God, in which he has given to his people through many books in the Old Testament, including the Ten Commandments, but many, many more, are intended to teach right living and fulfill the people in general. The Pharisees, however, used it as a means by which you could please God. In fact, the only means by which you could please God. You had to carry this yoke of the law and fulfill every aspect of it in order to please God. That's simply what he requires, perfection, to be obedient to every single one of his laws, no exceptions. It's a heavy load. That's why they called it a yoke. And so into that environment, Jesus speaks these words. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, Jesus offers a different yoke, one that he says is lighter, and it will relieve our burden from the yoke that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law puts on it. Now, Jesus' yoke is lighter not because God demands less. Be clear about this. God's demands are still perfection and perfect obedience to the law. The difference is that Jesus is saying he'll take our burden for us. There is an exchange that will happen here. So when we lay down the heavy burden of the law or the inability to keep it and all the shame and the difficulty that comes with that, it's not that Jesus is going to make the load lighter. It's still a heavy load and a heavy burden, but he's going to exchange it for his lighter load. He will carry the bulk of the heavy load. Not only will he carry the burden of our failing to keep the law, but all the other burdens as well that result from us being sinful and selfish people, that results from our shame and our sorrow and the grief and all of that which we carry around. Jesus declares that he is gentle and humble, and he will take these things upon him. He says he's gentle and humble, not because he's bragging, but to show that he's not holding unreasonable expectations over our heads. He's not angry when we fail. This is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is such good news. God is not angry. Does he give us impossible requirements? Yeah. No one can be completely faithful to his law. And to do so results in that feeling of failure, and that feeling that we just don't measure up. So it is impossible to meet all of God's requirements, except when Jesus says, put that yoke down. I will give you a lighter one. I will carry all of the burden that the yoke of the law commands. Jesus died to satisfy every single requirement. He takes our yoke and he gives us his. His yoke is grace. His yoke is forgiveness. His yoke is freedom. Much, much lighter than all of the requirements of the law that we sometimes place upon ourselves. And certainly the people at Jesus' time did that. This great exchange that I talk about oftentimes mirrors that exchange of our unrighteousness for his perfect righteousness. That's what happens on the day of our salvation. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what we are doing, actually, we're not doing anything. We are surrendering our lives to him. What he does is he takes all of our unrighteousness, all of our burdens, and gives to us his perfect righteousness. So then we are new creations in Christ Jesus. When we were on the Camino, we met a delightful couple from London. Their names were Alistair and Julie, and they're about our age. Alistair and Julie were, this is their second trip on the Camino. They were doing it in pieces, in parts, because they just didn't have the time in their schedule to do the whole thing. So they had walked a little over half of it a few years back, and now they were doing the latter part of it. They were doing so in a way everybody walks the Camino differently. They had chosen to not carry a heavy backpack, but to have their luggage shipped from town to town. So really all that they carried was a very light little day pack. And it was interesting when we first got to know them. Julie was the one who ended up saying, "I feel like such a fake, because we're not even carrying very heavy loads. We're just carrying these really light day packs, and our luggage is being shipped ahead. And you guys are the real pilgrims. You're the ones that are carrying these heavy packs and doing it day in and day out." And then one day she asked Debbie, she goes, "I want to feel like a real pilgrim today. Can we switch backpacks?" Debbie said, "Okay." And she didn't carry for that long. I mean, I'm not, let's be clear, my wife's no slacker. So she, but that's the amazing thing that happened, wasn't it? She took Julie's pack and Julie took her pack, which was the heavy burden. And two things had to take place, right? Debbie had to say, "Okay, you can do this." In addition to Julie saying with an offer, "Will you give me your heavy burden and I will give you my light burden?" When Jesus offers us a lighter burden, he says at the beginning of verse 28, "Come to me." He doesn't say anyone else. He doesn't say, "Go over here, go do that." "Come to me," Jesus says. "And I'm the one who will give you rest. And here's how it's going to work. You relieve yourself completely of your burden. I will pick it up and I will give you mine." We understand that. We know there's no strings attached, but we're reluctant. Why are we reluctant? Even when we have united with Christ by faith, we may have on that one day said, "Lord, I give you all of my burdens," and received his gift of salvation. But ever since that day, we've been trying to figure out how to manage our burdens on our own, right? Or maybe we're working in fits and starts where we know what it means to offload our burdens to Jesus and to let Him deal with them. But sometimes it just feels weird, right? Or maybe we're trying to earn Jesus' admiration. So we take the burden back. We say, I can handle this, Jesus. I'm only gonna trouble you with the really hard stuff. And so I'm going to take this burden back. I want to show you something that I find very interesting. Modern backpacks, the long distance packs anyway, these right here are called the yoke. Pretty cool, huh? So here's the yoke on your shoulder. Now notice these packs also have a hip belt. And this hip belt, these packs are designed so that when you carry them, you are able to redistribute the weight from your shoulders to your hips. I can tell you right now, with the weight of this pack, I wouldn't have lasted 2 days if the weight was only on my shoulders. It would have crushed me. So what I do with all of these straps and different things, I can adjust the weight and redistribute it down to my hips where it's a little easier to bear, and I can relieve the weight from my shoulders. Now, I like that as a metaphor for what we oftentimes do with our burdens. Instead of giving them to Jesus, we redistribute them on ourselves. Make sure you understand me. Modern technology has enabled us to physically transfer the weight of our burdens from the yoke to our hips to other places. And somehow, we have bought into the lie that we can do the same thing with our mental, emotional, and our spiritual burdens as well. We'll just redistribute them to other places in our lives. The wonderful thing about being able to redistribute weight in a pack like this is that you can carry more. And we do the same with our burdens as well. We take on more because we've redistributed them to other places. Do you know how you know that you've redistributed your burdens? They always leak out. Ever find yourself frustrated to the hilt and lashing out at someone for no reason? Ever find yourself just screaming into the air saying, "What is going on?" Ever get that knot in your chest that says, "Gosh, why won't this go away?" Or the hamster wheel in your brain that won't stop, and you know it's there, and you try to put the brakes on, only it doesn't work. All of those are signs that you've tried to redistribute your burdens instead of handing them over to Jesus. The way of Jesus offers no redistribution of the weight of our burdens. It merely is an exchange. Your yoke for His. No exceptions. The Capital One credit card commercial always says, "What's in your wallet?" I feel like Jesus is asking, "What's in your pack? What are you carrying around right now that you've been working hard at redistributing so it's easier to bear? But in reality, what you need to do is take it off and hand it over." The Bible promises peace and security and life to the fullest. How many of us have been looking for that for a long time and God's not answering? That's a burden. How many of you are still hanging on to guilt from past failures, whether it was last week or 10 years ago? That's a burden. How many of you are angry or grieving or ashamed or lost? And you are convinced in your mind that no one can help you because no one can understand. That's a burden. You've tried figuring out. You've tried redistributing the weight. You've tried managing the sin. You've tried swallowing the disappointment. You've tried stuffing the pain. You've tried to ignore all of the shame that comes with it. Jesus stands ready to take every single bit of it. And in return, you get a backpack, just a little one, with grace and with forgiveness and with freedom. And it's light as a feather. Will you pray with me?